Welcome back to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. My name is Chris, and this is episode 23. We're going to be talking about top predators on the farm, on the homestead. But before we get into that, I want to remind you about havenhomestead.com. That's our website where you can hear all of our past episodes and events that are coming up and just keep abreast of what we're doing here on the homestead. Also, please consider supporting us at Patreon. That's patreon.com, patreon.com/havenhomestead. And there you can support us, keep the show going for as little as $1 a month, up to $30 a month. Just you choose how much of a pledge you'd like to contribute. And we really appreciate everything that our patrons have given us so far. Being able to keep equipment updated and keep the podcast coming to you weekly. Well, with that taken care of, let's go into our topic, which is the top predators on the farm. So I wrote down the predators I thought of that were most important in our area, and where you live might be different. If you live down in the south, you might have to worry about snakes, or we don't have snakes here that eat our animals, that is. We have garter snakes and stuff that lives in the woods and just eats little bugs. So I'm okay with them. The first predator was coyotes. I know coyotes affect a lot of people throughout a lot of the United States. They are crafty critters. They have been known to lure dogs out, you know, away from the farm into the woods, and then the pack will attack. I think wolves do the same thing, but they can bring down big dogs, and you know, they work together as a pack to take out a lot of bigger animals. Also, they'll eat your calves or lambs or baby goats, even adult goats. So they can, if they're hungry, they can be pretty dangerous animals. I'll go through and name the different predators that we have, and maybe some of the signs of their kills, and then we'll talk about how to prevent them. So with coyotes, one of the ways they get into chicken pens and duck pens, you know, the most common way that they'd get into a pen like that is they dig under the fence and they kill whatever they can, and then they usually try to drag it out under the fence as well and leave, or eat what they can in place and then get back under the fence and leave. Often you won't be able to find, other than the hole dug in, won't be any sign. It's just the bird will be gone if it's a chicken or duck. So that's just something to know sign wise if it was a coyote. Also, the place where the animal was eaten, where your bird was eaten, would be, you know, a few hundred yards from the pen out towards, you know, into the wilds, I guess you could say. And there'll be a pile of feathers and probably feet left over. When we had a chicken eaten by coyotes, there was nothing left but some feet and a bunch of feathers. That's one thing to watch out for. And now, you know, and I was able to find scat and tracks to prove that it was coyotes. So that's how we found out about that chicken. She was about to have her chicks. She was, I think I might have mentioned it in one of the chicken episodes, but it's like we were expecting chicks any day, and we went out to see if she was doing all right, and all the eggs were eaten, and the chicken was eaten and everything. So it was pretty sad. It was a pretty bad deal. The next one I have on here is raccoon. So we just lost 5 ducks, you know, a month ago or something, to raccoons. And I know that they were raccoons because there were tracks in the mud, and two of the ducks were eaten up in a tree, and, you know, parts fell down. So I saw there were feathers on one of the, on the branches by the tree, because we have lots of moss on our trees out here, so things tend to stick. But there were two different spots where the bird, the duck had been dragged up there, eaten, and feet and maybe some wings, you know, lots of feathers fell down onto the ground. And so we lost five ducks that night. So I'm not sure how many raccoons it was, but raccoons are crafty because they can, they'll pull your chickens or birds through, you know, like pull their head through and eat it. Or they'll grab a body part. If they can reach in, they have opposable thumbs like we do, so they can reach in and they'll grab something and then pull it out and chew it. So that's one thing that makes them a more of a difficult predator than some of the other ones, is that they can reach in and grab things. They can also figure out how to undo door latches. They are really crafty and quite the pest if they decide that your farm is where they want to be eating stuff. So what you can do to keep raccoons out is lock your hutch if you have it covered on top. And on top will also help with aerial predators that we will talk about next. So if you have something that's enclosed on top, then they can't just climb over a fence and into the pen. And that's one thing on our duck pen we don't have is a net over the top, because it's kind of a big pen. And so that's something we'll have to try to look into. I'm worried that we're going to have more raccoon attacks. But what we've been doing lately is I built it's kind of like a rabbit hutch pen, just a cage out of hardware cloth. And every night we put the ducks back into this cage. They're trained to it now. We go out there and just kind of herd them into that direction, and they'll run right into their cage, and I lock the door and feed them in there, and they have been taking to it rather well. So, and raccoons, you can tell their tracks. They look like little hand marks, little hand, like a human hand, but small, just a few inches. And you can find that in the mud, and they usually like to wash things. So one of the ducks we had, she was pretty much intact except for her back. They had eaten all of the meat off of her back, I think, to get to the eggs. And then there was an egg I found by the edge of the duck pond that was eaten clearly by teeth, not by bird beaks, because we have crows that come in as well and steal our eggs. And you can tell when a crow pecks the egg because the shape is different, kind of a diamond shape, sharp at the top and sharp at the bottom and wider in the middle, where the crow pecked into there to get the eggs, to get the egg out. But also jays will do that too. We have stellar jays here, and they seem to be pest with the eggs. But the raccoon, you could see the teeth marks on the egg, and it had eaten, you know, the insides out of the egg. So raccoon has been my public enemy number one lately. Hopefully we'll be able to control those. The next one I have here are hawks, eagles, owls, all, you know, birds of prey. They will come in from above, and they usually do it in the daytime. Hawks and eagles especially, because they're daytime animals. And then owls at night, but if they're in a coop, which chickens usually are, then it's not going to be an issue in the nighttime. But in the daytime, hawks will swoop down and they'll grab the chicken and fly off with them. You can put nets over, and that will keep them out. So when a hawk attacks, if you can tell by hawk what the signs of a hawk attack are, just if you just find a dead animal, you know, one of your dead chickens, and you're wondering what killed it, then the hawk will often, I think that they pull the feathers out, and they spray poop all over the place, the whitewash, as they say. So you'll know that there's a whole bunch of hawk poop all over the place, then you know that that's what got your either hawk or eagle is what got your bird. And then owls, it's the same sort of deal, but from what I've read and researched, apparently it's kind of a chunky affair with owls. And I don't know if they spit up the owl pellets then or if they fly to a tree, but that's a sign of owls. If you have a lot of, if like you have a tree close by your pen and there's these little pellets that are full of like mice bone and mice hair and rodent bits, then it's probably the undigestible bits for an owl. They fly up into a tree, then they regurgitate these pellets, and you can use that as a sign to know if the owls are hanging out by your pens. So the next one I put down here are mice, and the reason I put mice down as a predator, they're typically, you know, a prey, but mice and rats are both pests in that they will eat your garden. So we had corn planted in the garden, and a mouse came along, or mice came along and killed or ate every single corn out of the ground, dug a little hole and ate the corn, and they were just starting to sprout, so they ate them all out. So I kind of consider them as a predator for our garden, because that's a food source for us, and just like the chickens and the ducks, you know, that's our food storage, live food storage. And so when they come out and they devastate our garden like that, they also become my enemy. And I went and bought some traps. I bought a live trap that they go in and then they can't go out. And you just put a little bit of bait inside, like peanut butter or something, and they'll go in and they can't go out. And I caught 4 mice the first night I had it out there, which was last night. So that's good. Getting control of some of those mice out there in and around the garden. They also dig into feed bags. They'll get your animals sick by pooping and peeing on everything, all the feed that they can get to. They'll, if your feed cans, if you have cans that you put the bags in like we do, if they have any holes in the feed cans, then they'll dig, even if it's in the very bottom, they'll dig a tunnel underneath to get up in there, and then they'll chew holes in the feed bags to get feed and then take it to their burrow. So while they're not the ones typically killing your birds through, you know, violence, them spreading their diseases in is not ideal for the health of your birds. Next one I put down is bobcats. We have some bobcats around here. We haven't had any issue with them here at Haven Homestead, but I do know of people that live in the adjacent areas, towns, that have had problems with bobcats. And what bobcats will do is they're very sneaky, very strong, very fast. They'll come in the daytime when you're free-ranging your chickens. If you just have chickens that free-range, they'll just come out of the woods, grab a chicken, run back into the woods, and that's the last you see of that chicken. So maybe you might find, you know, if they've gotten enough to eat, they'll take it out and they'll bury it. And sometimes the burying it isn't, they don't bury it far enough down, so you might be able to find it. But that's kind of what they, maybe for a chicken that won't be a problem because they can probably eat all of that. But for bigger kills, they seem to bury it so they can keep it for later. Weasels, so in the weasel family also are skunk and minks and badgers. I've never had badgers be a problem, but when I was growing up in Idaho, we had skunks that would get into our chicken pen and they would eat the eggs, and they'd also eat baby chicks, but we never had that issue, just with them eating the eggs. Also, weasels will get in and they will kill your chickens, and they usually like to chew the neck, like you'll find the head and neck's been chewed on. They aren't big enough to carry a full-grown chicken out, and usually they can get through. I mean, they can get through 1-inch chicken wire. Well, I guess they can get through some chicken wire. They can get through holes because they're very small and long. But they can get through, and then they'll kill it, and they can't get it back out. So you'll find the carnage without with the animal still being in there. Domesticated, the last ones I have on here are domesticated dogs and cats. They can be a major predator to your animals as well. If you have a dog that likes to chase animals, then you might be in for trouble with your chickens. We had a dog that had really strong drive. Yeah, she was a bird dog, and we had her before we moved out to the country. So when we were living in town, it wasn't too bad to have a dog that, you know, was used for hunting, because you could go out sometimes into the country and hunt doves or something. She'd bring them back. But when we moved out here and got chickens and ducks, she kept on chasing them. And I guess you can train her, but we had to give her away to someone who didn't have any birds. And that was sad, because we had had her for a long time, and she was a really great dog. She was a Weimaraner. So if you know those, they're very beautiful dogs and really good companions. But so any domesticated dogs, whether it's your dogs or the neighbor's dogs or even your cats or wild cats, can all take your birds. And the way to tell if it's been a dog usually is they won't eat it. They'll just kill it because it's fun. It's running away from them. They'll kill it, and then when it stops flopping, then they realize, well, that's not fun anymore. And they'll just leave it mauled and slobbery and dead. I said the last one, but I have one more that I wanted to mention. That's a fox. And I should have mentioned them with the coyotes, which I didn't write it down in time, which is silly of me. But the fox, when they get into a chicken coop, they usually get in at night. They can climb a little bit, but they mostly burrow underneath. And what they'll do is they'll go in and they'll kill all of the birds that they can find that, you know, are within reach. And the more they kill, the more the birds are panicking, which makes them more excited, so they'll kill more birds, which makes the birds more panicky. So it's just a frenzy until all the birds are dead. They don't typically eat that many of them. It's just really, really fun for a little bit. So the fox in the hen house makes a little more sense once you know that. I promised that I'd tell you how we can keep keep our birds safe. So with the coyotes and the foxes, they're mostly deterred by having the pen not easily burrowed under. So if you have a stationary chicken run, bury your chicken wire down and then lay it down outside the, you can bury it, or you can just lay it down like in the grass, and then step on it or put a little dirt on it or something so it stays down. So that as you walk up to the chicken pen, first the wire's on the ground and then it goes up the side. That way that when they come to the corner and they're going to dig under, they hit wire. And they say give a 2-foot barrier, a 2-foot wire along the ground all the way around the whole perimeter so that they can't dig underneath it. So that's one way to keep those burrowing animals out. And domestic dogs will do the same. They'll dig underneath if they really want to get to those chickens. For the aerial predators, the hawks, eagles, owls, also the ravens and jays that steal eggs, then just put a net over the top. A net or some more chicken wire. Build kind of a structure that goes, you know, to hold it up. Our chicken run does not have any net over the top. I want to be able to walk in there and muck the pen without needing to lean over the whole time. So that's the reason why we haven't put a net over the top. But I would like to get a net and put a central post sticking up high so that I can still work in the chicken pen without needing to crawl around or stoop the whole time. Because crawling through chicken pen is not cool. It's pretty messy. Let's see, with the mice, to keep them out of your feed, keep your birds healthy, you want to put your feed into metal, like trash cans, and that will help keep them away from mice and other critters that want to eat the feed. I don't really have any solution for bobcats. They're pretty reclusive, so they don't usually come out very often. But if you do have a problem with them, then you might want to look into local laws of trapping them. I remember when I was looking at a trapping magazine, the prices of furs, and it seemed like bobcat was pretty expensive. So that could be something you could look into, turn a loss into a gain. The weasels, the skunks, the minks. Just make sure that your pen is in good repair. There's no holes in it, so they can't just sneak in and eat your eggs and chicks. Also, that's the same thing with the raccoons. Just make sure that the pen has small openings so they can't stick their hands through, and that you have a lock that will keep them out. And then with the domesticated dogs and cats, I'd say just keep a wary eye out. Maybe get your own dog that can pee around the pen and get its smell around there, and keep the other animals away. They'll keep away wild animals and domestic animals. Yeah, I think that is it. And if you just your wary eye will help your animals the most. Jeff Lawton was talking about a design that was very difficult, and he says that one became more elegant in your permaculture design, became more elegant because of all of the restrictions that it had. You had to have, so I think that that's the same way with designing your chicken coop, is the more predator pressure you have, the more elegant the solution will be, the more in depth and comprehensive you'll be able to take care of all of your chickens' needs. With that, I hope that this has been a useful episode for you, that if you're having issues with the predators, I'd like to hear about it. Also, Carlos Cunha, it's Carlos, Carlos, Cunha, Cunha. He has a Patreon account as well, and I like to read his. We became a supporter last week, I believe it was, and he has funny stories about it, but one that he's done recently is called Fox in Socks, and there's been a fox that's been attacking his animals, and so he was kind of talking about I actually messaged him about it, and that I said we've had predators here lately too, and we emailed back and forth about different trapping techniques and things that we were trying to get. So if you do use a live trap, this is this my last little piece of advice. If you do use a live trap, then please dispatch the animal that you trap if it's a predator that's causing trouble, because taking it out and releasing it somewhere else is giving that headache to another farmer or another person. And the raccoons, if you turn it out into another raccoon's territory, then the other raccoon will probably kill it, which is a lot less humane than just putting it out of its misery quickly. I encourage you to go check out Carlos's his work. He's very funny, albeit irreverent at times. He has got a lot of good stuff on there and lots of posts. So, with that, this has been the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Thanks for listening.